enjoyed that. Did they? I'm sorry. Was it Great Is Thy Faithfulness? That was excellent, excellent. And while that was fine, that's the word that kept going through my mind, probably because that's the song, but that's the word that kept going through my mind. And so I asked for the Caleb if I come up and say something before he comes up here, because I enjoy working with these two men right here and their faithfulness. They bring a lot to the ministry here, that's for sure, in the way of excitement and enthusiasm. And you see a lot of that with especially the teenagers. Youth church upstairs up there, of course, occasionally you hear what goes on up there. That's Brother Jason. Brother Jeff and I are always trying to calm them down, keep them quiet. But you see that. And then Brother Caleb's always full of excitement. The first word that comes to mind, and enthusiasm. I don't care. Soul-winning meeting on Tuesday nights. I don't care if there's a half dozen guys or the pews are full. He's excited. And he gets us pumped up to go out there and lead folks to the Lord. I enjoy working with these fellows here. Brother Jorge, too, of course, working on staff. I learned a lot from the staff men when they've come in, Brother Mike and Brother Harrison. Enjoyed when they were here. Learned. I'll be honest with Brother Harrison. I liked his fervor and his enthusiasm at an older age. And I don't mean that bad, but that's good to have. That's good to have. You need that. And then Brother Mike, and I don't mean this bad, but probably one of the biggest things I learned from him was how to keep things organized and notes and lists and formulas and things like that, and keeping everything. I saw him do that, and I thought, that's not a bad idea. And in the school, you need that. And so I appreciate what I've learned from them. And I've learned a lot from these young men here as well. And I was going to say this morning, but I decided to say it all at one time. Brother Jason and Brother Caleb, what I like most about them is their love for the Lord and their love for the ministry. When Wednesday mornings, we kneel down here and pray, all the staff guys, just about every Wednesday morning. And I've listened to Brother Jason pray with tears and choked up over the teenagers and the young people of this church here. And then Brother Caleb with such fervor for the soul winning and for the young Christians in the church. And I've got to experience that, and I enjoy that sweet time we have together. I appreciate these young men being here. I enjoy hearing them preach. Got to hear Brother Jason this morning. And now Brother Caleb.
Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 4. Let's stand as soon as you have that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 4. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you, God, that we can reflect on the day and we can see your blessings this morning and people getting saved and people getting baptized. And Lord, I thank you that we had somebody join the church. Lord, you've just been so good to us. And then, Lord, the privilege of being able to celebrate your resurrection today. Every Sunday is a celebration of that. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done. I pray that you bless the song here in your name. Amen.
I've heard of a land
just over in glory,
gonna go there.
Every day gets dearer.
Gonna go there.
Every day.
Sometimes I can feel.
Sometimes it feels sweet breezes from glory.
Go over my soul, bringing sunshine and rain. It's but a small glimpse.
It's but a small glimpse of the glory that's waiting.
Where all is at peace.
Where all is at peace, and Jesus shall reign.
I'm gonna go there.
Where the river is flowing.
I'm gonna go there.
Happy faces are glowing. Gonna go where nobody's feeble, tired, and old.
I'm gonna go there.
Every day gets dearer.
I'm gonna go there.
Every step I am nearer. I'm gonna go there. Hallelujah, I'm gonna go there.
I'm gonna go there.
Every day gets dearer.
I'm gonna go there.
Every step I am nearer. I'm gonna go there.
Fellas, that was excellent. I'm going to go there, the place called glory. Amen. And all week long, we get to tell people how they can go there because we know we're on our way there. Amen. Going to go to heaven. That's a great song. Thank you, fellas, for that. Well, my mother-in-law and I had sat down and talked this afternoon, and I said, there's no mother-in-law jokes this evening. And but after a dastardly joke like that, or trick, I tell you, I heard of a real good joke the other day. No, I'm joking. But from the first time we had the phone call that Mom had cancer, of course, we started praying right away, and many, many thousands of people started praying all over the world. And I tell you, I've just seen God's grace over and over and over in my mother-in-law's life. And I've heard about it. My father-in-law would call, and we would talk on the phone, and he would say, it's amazing how much grace God has given her and how well she's taking it. And then to have her come for the last several days, it's just been amazing to see that. So I just thank the Lord for the blessing of having a good mother-in-law. And no, I'm not trying to get any brownie points for those of you who are wondering about that. I really do have a good mother-in-law. God's just blessed me with that. So we are over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we read verse 4 down to verse 9. I want to focus in on verse 9. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Apostle Paul, as he sat down and as he penned this letter, he was in Philippi. And he was writing the church, of course, at Corinth. And he was telling the church at Corinth, you are dealing with an issue in a very carnal way. He said the issue is, whose spiritual daddy is greatest? You know how the little boys go, my daddy can beat your daddy. And then the other little boy says, oh yeah, my daddy's stronger than your daddy. And then the other little boy says, you want to fight about it? So they fight about it, and the two dads are in the garage working together. So the Apostle Paul says, you are arguing over a very small matter here in a very carnal way. He says back in Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, he said, do you remember the time when I first came to Corinth? Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, we read where the Apostle Paul, for the first time, he comes into that great city. And, of course, he comes with the purpose, the sole purpose, to spread the gospel. And we find after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, he comes to Corinth. And I can just imagine Paul as he hits those streets in Corinth for the very first time. Fresh blood. Amen. Fresh streets. I've never been to this city. This is great, man. I'm going to tell everybody I can how they can know they're on their way to heaven. So he goes down the street and he sees a couple people out. He says, hey, have you ever heard of a man by the name of Jesus? Jesus? No, I've never heard of that name. Well, let me sit down and let me tell you about a man by the name of Jesus. He gets done with them, and then he goes over to the barber shop, and he starts talking with the barber. And he says, have you ever heard of the name Jesus before? No, I've never heard that name Jesus. He says, I got to tell you about this name Jesus, this man by the name of Jesus. This is unbelievable. So he sits down and he tells the man about Jesus. And then he goes down the street and maybe he gets some food. And he says to the man that is selling the food, have you ever heard the name Jesus? He says, Jesus? No, I've never heard that name before. He says, hold on, you've got to hear the story. This man, he was born, and he was born in a little crib or a little manger where animals eat from. And then he grows up and he makes these dead people rise, and he is crucified. And then 3 days later, he comes up out of the grave. That's amazing. The fellow bows his head and trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Apostle Paul says, remember, church at Corinth, the first time I came to your city, I told you about that man named Jesus. Then in chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth. Well, what is Apollos doing at Corinth? He is taking the seed that the Apostle Paul had planted, and he is saying, hey, have you ever heard that name Jesus? Yeah, we heard that name Jesus. But I told that guy that told me about Jesus that he was crazy. The Apollos comes by and says, hey, it's not crazy. Let me show you some more. And he witnessed to him some more. And eventually, the person gets saved. And the Apostle Paul says, I came and I told you about Jesus. Apollos came and he also explained and expounded upon my teachings. And now you are bickering back and forth on who is the greatest, the Apollos or Paul. He says it's brought great division in the church. He said, let me explain this to you. He said, I came to Corinth and I planted the seed. I planted the seed of salvation. Apollos came by and he took the water of water and he watered that seed. And then eventually someone came by and you got saved. Man, they are at the Apostle Paul says it's almost as if we are playing we're all working together, almost as if we are playing tag team here. I do my work, I go to the next city. Apollos comes after me, and he does the work that he is supposed to do. He gets done with his work, and then he passes it off to a pastor there at Corinth. We're all working together to see you grow spiritually. He says it's almost like tag team. I get done with the job. I tag off to Apostle. Apostle comes over here, and he waters. And Apostle tags off to the pastor at Corinth. It is almost as tag team. I remember in college, my father-in-law, he would always have a Labor Day activity. And at the Labor Day activity, we would have this activity relay race. Well, that's not real bad if you're just running and tagging off to somebody and running back. But he would have at the end of the field a 5-gallon bucket. And there in the 5-gallon bucket, it would be full of ice, of course, and a little bit of water. And before you ran, you had to take your shoes off. So there you have bare feet. On Labor Day, ran a bucket in front of you with 10 marbles on the bottom of the bucket. That you had to dig your foot in and pull out a marble, and then you had to run back and you tag the next team member. They go down and they do the same thing. Well, that's great. I can do the digging in the feet or digging in the bucket with ice bucket and pulling out a marble. I can hobble back to the team and tag off to the next guy. But there was always a game where he would have a bat down there. You had to stick your head on the top of the bat. And you go round and round and round and round. I think it was the girls, I think they did 10. The fellas, I think it was 15 times. And he would jack it up. So we would go round and round and round. I'll get done. I would kind of stand up. And I'd still go round and round and round. Woo! Fall right over. But we would try to run back. And you'd run sideways like this. And then all of a sudden you'd try to dig your way into the ground. And oh my goodness, the world was turned upside down. And I got back. I remember this particular day. I got back to the team. I tagged off to the next guy. And I kept on running past the team. And I delivered some wonderful breakfast. Amen. And my goodness. But we were playing tag team. The Apostle Paul says it's almost like tag team. I come by, I plant the seed. Apollos comes by, he waters the seed. And then he tags off, possibly, to a pastor here at Corinth. And we're all working for the same motive. We're all working for the same purpose. He says, let me solve this whole problem for you. In verse 9, he says, for we are laborers together. For we are laborers together. The Apostle Paul says, I'm a laborer. Apostle Paul was a laborer. And anybody else that came in contact for that helped your spiritual growth was a laborer. We're all working together. And he says, laborers have something in common. We all have the same master. We all have the same master, Jesus Christ. Amen. John 13 and verse 13, he says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. I have, you may go to your neighborhood. And you may pass out tracts to your neighborhood. I may go over to my neighborhood and pass out tracts to my neighborhood. I may go knock on doors in Kankakee. You may go knock on doors in Manteno or Piatone. Or you may knock on doors in Wadsika. But we are all under the same master here. He says, you call me master. And because it is so, because you are all laboring under the same master. He says, we all have the same mission. Do we all have the same mission? That is, take the gospel. Praise the Lord, what a mission. Amen. What a mission. Get to take the plan of salvation to folks. I tell you, it's the greatest thing in the whole world. But we all have the same mission. The man in Ireland has the same mission as me and Bourbon A. The man in the Philippines has the same mission as Brother Don. The man over in Poland has the same mission as the captain of the bus that runs in Bourbonnais or Bradley or in Wadsika. We all have the same mission. That mission is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, we have the same master. We all have the same mission. And we all have the same message. Jesus Christ can save, amen? Hey, no matter how big the sin is, no matter how deep the stain, the blood of Jesus can erase it, amen? We all have the same message, praise the Lord. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, may I say, as I look throughout the crowd here, as I look through the auditorium, I see co-laborers tonight. We are all co-laborers working for the same master, working under the same mission, and working with the same message. We're all working together. We are co-laborers. You may be working in one city. Another man may be working in another city. We all are striving to reach our state for Christ. We're all laboring to see our nation come back to Christ. We're all laboring to see the world come back. And we're all laboring to see lives change. We are co-laborers. The Apostle Paul said, hey, let me solve all this bickering and fussing between you church members here. He says, ye are laborers together. We are laborers. That's what he told the church at Corinth. And he said, not only are you laborers, but you go out under the same master, under the same message, under the same mission. Now, as we are all laborers, thank God, we're all laborers tonight, for the same master, we all labor, all laborers are equally important. All laborers are equally important. Let's go to verse 8. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. He says, the Apostle Paul says that the task may be big. You may have a big responsibility. Another person may have just a little dinky responsibility over here in this corner of the church. But he says both laborers are equally important. There isn't one laborer that's more important than the other. They're all equal in the eyes of God, the Apostle Paul says. Now let me ask you a question. How many times is Apollos mentioned in the Bible? Not a whole lot. 10 times to be exact. 10 times Apollos is mentioned in the Bible. But we find the Apostle Paul, his specific name or Saul, not a pronoun referring back to Paul, but his specific name, Paul or Saul, mentioned 182 times in the Word of God. And then, catch this, this is amazing. The Apostle Paul says, I am equal to Apollos. That's only mentioned 10 times in the Word of God. When the Apostle Paul is mentioned 182 times in the Word of God, he says it doesn't matter if it's a big task or it's a small task. All laborers are equally important before God. All laborers are equally important. I remember on the farm, springtime would come, Dad would get the garden tools out. He would get the garden tools out, we would get ready, we were going to plant us a garden. And it always seemed like the garden was three times the size that we needed. I think he did it just to keep us boys busy. And we would get out there in the springtime, and he would till it. Then we'd come by, everybody showed up to get their seed and to put their seed in the garden and make sure that the seed was covered the right way. And it was an exciting time. Gardening, amen? It was an exciting time to plant those seeds. And then we got done. Amen? Done with that? We'll see him in the fall. Amen? And we would come by, and then Dad would say, all right, today's job is go weed the garden. And the planting of the seed was an exciting project. Sitting there picking out thistles and dandelions is not an exciting job. But both jobs are very important when you're gardening. I can remember when we came home from a vacation. And it seemed like somebody came to our house and took the bag of grass seed and spread it all over our garden. I mean, you couldn't even tell what we were growing in there. We just kind of got the mower out. Vroom, vroom, bro, mowed that thing right over. It was worthless. Both responsibilities are vitally important. I don't know what your responsibility is, but it is very important. The size of the responsibility does not determine the importance of the responsibility. Both are equally important. You may be a bus captain on a bus ride, and you may carry the title as bus captain. And then you have a bus worker that carries the title as broom sweeper, amen? And every Sunday after the bus ride, he goes by and he sweeps the bus out. But may I say, the broom sweeper is just as important as bus captain, amen? God, the Apostle Paul says, both laborers are equally important before God. You may teach a class, or you may be a substitute teacher on Brother Caleb's list. And you get a phone call at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Hello, this is Brother Caleb. And all you have to do is say, yes, I know. You already know why I'm calling. Who else would call you at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning? It would be Brother Caleb. Call and ask him, well, we have somebody out today. Wondering if you could sub in. You say, I'm just a substitute. I don't accomplish much. All I'm doing is just seeing the kids once every month or once every 3 months. Hey, your job is just as important as the teacher's job. Because God says all laborers are equally important. He says the planting and the watering are one. He says they're equally as important. Every Sunday night, I enjoy a tradition coming down these steps and Mary Miracle coming around the corner and giving me a piece of paper that she's worked on all Sunday afternoon. She hands me that piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, it'll have the date, and then it'll have baby's births. And Mary Miracle labors on Sunday afternoon to look up the names and the addresses of the men or the families that have had children that previous week. She labors every Sunday afternoon. You say, well, she may say, well, I don't get to go out and I don't get to walk people down the aisle. Hey, that job is very, very important. She's already had visitors in church from that ministry. Amen. Hey, that's a blessing. That's a blessing, whether it's a big task or it's a small task. All laborers are equally important. You see, a soul winner goes out and he'll knock on a door. He labors and labors and labors, and he finally comes to a door that the people are receptive. And he starts talking with the people. And the people say, well, we have a little girl or a little boy that would love to come to church, but I work on Sunday.
And that soul winner says, well, I have an excellent solution for you. We have a bus that comes right by here and picks up. We can pick up little Johnny or little Jill. We would love to have him on the bus route. And he goes back to church rejoicing, Lord, I got a sign up. Praise the Lord. And he is excited. He labored out there on the streets. He turns the card in, and then the bus captain wakes up on Saturday morning, labors to get to bus meeting. And then at bus meeting, he labors to stay awake. No, but at bus meeting, he labors there, and he gets all pumped up, ready to go visit that new move. He goes out, and he labors, and he tries to get that little boy or that little girl excited. And then he's done his job. And then early on Sunday morning, the bus driver wakes up. And he rushes off to church, and he labors to start the bus. No, they all start. Amen. Every Sunday, all of them starting. And he labors driving that bus. And then the bus workers are all laboring on the bus route. And they are trying to cheer up this little girl or little boy or make them feel welcome for the first time because they want her or him to come back. Then they get to church. The bus worker labors to bring them up to their class. After they get them to the class, the Sunday school teacher has been laboring all morning, preparing and getting their mind ready to teach that lesson. So finally, in class, she labors or he labors to give the lesson. And then the helper labors all week long and excited to come to that class. So we have the teacher laboring all day or all hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes long to teach that lesson. And they're working their hardest. Now, may I say that six laborers went into that one soul if that boy or that girl gets saved. It wasn't just one person. It was all laborers together. We are laborers together, God says, whether it's a big task or it's a little task. But we're all laboring together. It might be a small one or a big one, but God says it's equally as important to Him. All laborers are equally important. I remember just a couple weeks ago, I went by a house, the Early family. And as I was talking to Mr. Early, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior there on the front porch there. He knelt down on his knees. And then I talked to him about baptism. He said, I'd love to get baptized. And his little girl came up to him and said, hey, Daddy, can I get baptized with you? I said, well, that's a great idea. And then another little girl came up and said, can I get baptized too? And a boy came up and said, can I get baptized? I said, well, hold on. We're revival busting out in the front porch, amen. I mean, fire's going to come down from heaven and consume us all. But I said to the little boy, all right, well, let me ask you, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? And he said, yes, I did that with Jason Lowe. With Brother Lowe, my Sunday school teacher. I said, praise the Lord for good teachers. Amen. That'll tell the kids about the gospel. That'll tell the kids how they can know they're on their way to heaven. I asked the little girls, do you know if you're to die? Do you know if you go to heaven? They said, yes, we know that. We have a teacher, Melanie Donahoe, taught us how we can know we're on our way to heaven. I said, praise the Lord. All laborers are equally important. Thank God for that. And you saw him get baptized a couple weeks ago. That was many laborers working together for one purpose. See a life change. Amen. See a life change. Then we have all laborers need encouragement from their co-laborers. All laborers need encouragement from their co-laborers. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2, it says, and he sent the priests in there and set the priests in their charge and encouraged them to serve or to the service of the house of the Lord. The Bible says that he set them in their place, and then after he had set them there, and after he had given them their charge, then he encouraged them. Hey, you're going to be the best bullocks throat slitter that I've ever seen. You're going to do a great job. Amen. You encourage them. Boy, you're going to do a wonderful job. You look wonderful in that robe, I'm telling you. He encouraged them. You're doing an excellent job. You know what? Sometimes a laborer gets discouraged. A laborer will get discouraged. Everyone will come to a time in their ministering where they're going to come and they're going to just be discouraged about their labors. May I say there was a man, of course, D.L. Moody, that used to meet in YMCAs. And he used to preach to crowds that just did not respond. And he would preach and we would preach. And there was two little old ladies there, Auntie Cook and Mrs. Snow. Auntie Cook and Mrs. Snow, and they would sit right down in the front row. And every time he would get done preaching, they would tell D.L. Moody, "Hey, we're praying for you. We want you to know that we want to encourage you to keep on pressing forward. Hey, we want it just to be a blessing to you. We're going to keep on praying for you, D.L. Moody." And you know what? Eventually, they just cranked him up hard enough that he sought the Lord, and the Lord poured out the blessings. He was a servant. He was a laborer that needed an encouragement. Now, I don't know where you are in your ministry, but I can guarantee you, you wouldn't mind someone coming by and saying, "Boy, you sure did a great job in that special. Boy, you sure did a great job running that bus. Or you sure did do a great job doing that memory verse the other week." I'm telling you, you're all excellent at the position that you're doing. You're changing those diapers wonderfully. Great job. And whatever the responsibility is, all laborers could use an encouragement. You just don't know where the person is as far as how far away they are from quitting. Maybe your little elbow in their shoulder would encourage them and just elbow them. "Hey, man, you're doing an excellent job. I just want you to know that." Maybe that will fire them up and say, "Whoa, somebody noticed. Hey, praise God. Hey, I'm going to just keep on laboring here. You're doing an excellent job in this Sunday school class. I have chosen you to be in this Sunday school class, and you're doing a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. I don't think that class could have a better Sunday school teacher than you yourself. You're doing a great job." Hey, somebody needs encouragement. Our duty is not to see through one another, but to see one another through. Our duty is not to see through one another, but to see one another through. We are all laborers. Maybe just a note. "Hey, doing a good job. Doing a good job." All laborers need their co-laborers to encourage them. All laborers need that. So as we go out, I don't know what your responsibility perhaps may be, but encourage one another. "Say, I saw you singing over here. I just want to say you did an excellent job. I saw you laboring over here and putting those tools away on the bus. And boy, you're doing just a great job. And you just keep on laboring for the Lord." All laborers need encouragement from their co-laborers. All laborers are accompanied with their master. We have one master, amen, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, hey, in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God." We are laborers together. Hey, we are laboring, but right in the midst of us, we have a laborer, which is Jesus Christ, our master. Praise God. God is with us. He is helping us labor together. We're not all on our own. We are laboring with God and for God. The Bible says that, the Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 20, it says, "I am with you always." In Hebrews 13 verse 5, it says, "I will never leave thee." In John 15 and verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." Hey, we have the master right alongside of us. Have you ever taken a project on? And in that project, in that box, there's a manual. And you take the manual out. And you take the different pieces out of the box. And you begin to read the manual. And as you begin to read the manual, you just want to take the manual and chuck it across the room. And say, "What in the world are they talking about? Just give me a 1, 2, 3 outline where I know exactly what to do." And you wish you could ask an expert. And then get the project done in a quickly fashion. I was out visiting just this past Thursday, and as I knocked on the door, there was a lady answered the door and started talking, just small talk. And I looked, and there was a man sitting on the floor with a screwdriver, with a manual, and with a couple hammers. I said, "Well, following a manual, huh? It goes pretty good, doesn't it?" He says, "Yeah, if you know a different language, it would go real smooth, huh?" You want to say, "Well, why don't you just tell me how to set this thing up? Why don't you just tell me the instructions here?" Well, may I say, as you are out laboring, as you are out soul winning, or as you are out bus calling, or working in the nursery, or singing in the choir, or you're out working in the invitations, and you just don't know what to do, let me tell you, you have an expert with you at all times. No matter what the job is, you've got an expert. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the master at your job. He's the master. It doesn't matter what spectrum it is. He is the master of it. Whether it's cleaning the commodes, or whether it's over here sweeping buses out, or whether it's leading the program, or whatever it is, Jesus Christ is the master of that job. He says, for we are laborers together with God. For we are laborers together with God. The Apostle Paul was preaching in Jerusalem. You know the story, as he was bound and as he was thrown in jail. He sat there in jail, perhaps, maybe just a little bit discouraged, I don't know. But in Acts 23 it tells us where Jesus was when the Apostle Paul was thrown into the clink. He said, well, Lord, I served you. Look where I'm at. Look where I'm at. The Apostle Paul says, and the night following, the Lord, I love this, stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also at Rome. Jesus Christ was right beside the Apostle Paul in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of his ministering, in the midst of his sowing, may I say, or in the midst of his watering, if you will, please. Jesus Christ was right beside him, and no matter what happened, Jesus was going to stay beside him. You know the little song, God plus one equals a majority. God plus one equals a majority. God plus one equals a majority. I am on the Lord's side. You know how that song goes? If you have yourself serving the Lord and Jesus Christ with you, hey, it doesn't matter what happens, because Jesus is with you at all times. You can labor and you can labor, but Jesus is going to be right by your side. I'm sure that you've had that experience before. You just don't know what to do in this particular ministry that you're serving in. Oh, I wish somebody would just tell me. And then you pray, and Jesus says, well, why don't you try this out? And you try it out. Wow, that works terrific. I can't believe it. That's because you have the expert of every position that you are laboring in with you at 24/7. Jesus Christ, the expert, is with you. Have any questions about it? Ask Jesus. Ask the expert. Think about that. The one that labored for 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. I mean, the one that spoke the stars into existence. The one that formed man and breathed in him the breath of life. That same one, may I say, is with you in your labors. Yes. He is with you. We are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Thank God, God stays with us. No matter what comes up the pipe, God is with us at all times. We see all laborers will receive their reward. All laborers will receive their reward. Let's go to verse 8. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive, notice the next two words, his own reward. According to, next two words, his own labors. His own reward, his own labors. All laborers will receive their reward. All laborers will receive their reward. Oftentimes, or perhaps we have the concept of I'm going to be there with my dad and with my mom and with my four brothers and with my two sisters, and God's going to judge our family. And perhaps you're a teenager, or perhaps you're a young child, or perhaps an adult that has grown up in a Christian home, and you think, well, God's just going to lump us all together and we're going to all be judged, and so many crowns for this family and so many crowns for this family. So many crowns for this family. They did serve me, and I'll give them some crowns. But God says here in this verse, His own reward. His own labor. When I stand before God, I'm not going to have all my family with me. I'm not going to have a bunch of people that minister with me, the bus one workers. I'm not going to have you with me when I stand before God. And you aren't going to have any of your family. And you aren't going to have any of your people, the people that labored with you in the ministry. You're not going to have them with you when you stand before God. It's going to be you. And God's going to be talking to you. And He's going to give you the rewards for your labors. Sometimes, well, we may think, well, my dad, he served in the bus ministry for 29 years. I'll just grab some of his rewards while he's going through the line. But I'm not going to get any of his rewards. I'm not going to get any of his rewards. I better start making rewards for myself. And might I say that we all better labor for the rewards that we're going to give to Jesus Christ at the judgment. We all better labor together. We all better labor for our own rewards. There's no picking pockets in heaven at the judgment seat. No picking crowns, no picking jewels out of the crowns either. I mean, what you've earned is what you've earned. That's it. That's it. We're not going to get a second chance at this. Lord, you only gave me one crown. Pretty cheap up there, huh? No, that's not what it's going to be at all. God's going to say, all right, this is what you did. I'm going to give you that. And then next, hold on, Lord, a little bit more. I'm pretty embarrassed here standing all by myself with one. And then Apostle Paul come up here. And then, Lord, I'm mighty embarrassed. All laborers will receive their reward. I'm not going to be able to hang on to the rewards of anybody that I'm laboring with. I am going to earn the rewards for myself or for Jesus Christ, of course. But I won't be collecting on anybody else's labors. I think sometimes the song, by and by when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. You know how the song goes. By and by when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn shadowed face, by and by when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I ever gave before. More. Huh? Is that going to be the song? I hope not. I know that for some, it's not going to be that way. I hope it's not that way for anybody here as we're laboring together for Christ. He says, by and by, all laborers will receive their own reward. All laborers will receive their own reward. General Douglas MacArthur, one time as he was speaking to the soldiers, he gave this quote. He said, be ashamed to die until you have done something for humanity. Be ashamed to die until you have done something for humanity. May I switch that around and take humanity out and put Christ in there for us tonight? Be ashamed to die until you have done something for Christ. We're all serving the same master, amen? We all got the same mission. We all got the same message. Well, let's labor for him together. Bless God. Be ashamed to die until you have done something for Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to stand before God with something to give him. I want to cast some crowns before his feet. I want to stand there singing the song by and by. When I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. More. But it's too late. It's too late. We are laborers together. We are laborers together. All laborers are equally important, may I say? All laborers are equally important. Tonight, maybe I don't know. Maybe we have a discouraged teacher. Maybe we have a discouraged bus worker or a bus captain. I don't know what your situation. And oftentimes, it just doesn't show. A person can hold it inside and be discouraged, but they won't show it. But I say that your responsibility is just as big before God as the person that perhaps may have gotten a little reward for their labor here on earth. Your labor is just as important before God. Just as important before God. And then all laborers need encouragement from their co-workers. Think of some way that you can be a blessing to your co-laborers in Christ. Think of some way. Maybe it's just writing on a piece of note. Hey, you're a blessing. Maybe it's just giving them a call and say, boy, I can't wait to serve with you this coming Sunday. I am pumped. I mean, I can't wait to have another chance at those boys and girls and to see them in our Sunday school class and to teach them one more time about Jesus. Maybe you just want to give them a call. I don't know. But I'll guarantee you it won't do any harm to give them an encouraging word for their labor. Might I also say that all laborers are accompanied with the master. I don't know if you want some hints on your responsibility, but I'll tell you one that can give some good hints. He can give you a manual that you can understand. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the expert at any job that you do. He is the expert at any laboring that you do in His work. Or perhaps you are thinking, I just need to labor some more to get some more rewards to cast at Jesus' feet. I believe as I look out and as I look at co-laborers in Christ, I think that I see some folks that have mounds of spiritual rewards around their feet because they've been laboring and laboring and laboring, faithful week after week after week, and just serving the Lord. Just serving the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight, just keep on doing it. Or perhaps you may say, I just haven't got locked in yet. I just haven't started laboring. Well, might I say that Jesus Christ is coming back real soon? I don't know when, but you definitely don't want to have no rewards when you stand at His feet. Hey, get locked in there. Get something, some small responsibility, some task. Say, I got to do this for the master. I got to do this for the cause of the mission. I got to do this for the message. I want to do something for Jesus Christ. I want to labor. We are laborers together. We are laborers together. Co-laborers, Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know where you are in your serving or in your service. Perhaps a little bit discouraged. Perhaps excited about serving the Lord and gaining some more crowns to cast at His feet. Maybe it is just thinking that your little task isn't worth the time or worth the effort. I don't know where the Lord spoke to your heart, or if He did. But might I say that God can help you in your labors. We're all laboring together. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I'm not even a laborer because I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never asked Him to come to my heart and wash away my sins. Brother Caleb, I've never done that, but I sure do need to do that. Would you raise your hand? I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want my destiny to be like that song the fellas sang, heaven. I want my destiny to be in heaven. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I've been saved but not baptized. I've been saved but not baptized. Would you raise your hand? I've been saved but not baptized. All right. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that heaven's my home, and I just can't wait to get there. Would you raise your hand? I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Just raise your hand. Or you may put your hands down. Maybe, Lord, I don't know what area. If the Lord did work in your heart, might I ask you to do some business with the Lord about it tonight? Take it to the Lord and settle it here at the altar. God wants to help you in your labors. We are laboring together for the greatest master. So, Brother Caleb, Lord spoke to my heart this evening. I just want to raise my hand. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand up. Just raise your hand up, all right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the hands that were raised. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just keep in mind that we are laboring together for you. Lord, help us to keep in mind that no matter how big the task, that you have given us that responsibility, Lord, and it's an important responsibility before you. Lord, I pray that you would help anyone that is here that perhaps is not saved. I pray that they would get saved, Lord. And God, maybe somebody needs to deal with the situation of or issue of baptism in their life. I pray that they would do that as well. Lord, please work in our midst this evening in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you would just stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you just stand as the piano begin to play, you just do your work with the Lord. Now, we are laborers together. We are laborers together. No matter how big the task, it's an important one. We're laboring for the greatest master, with the greatest mission, and with the greatest message.